All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this special time we have together. Thank you for each one here today and for this opportunity to share foundational truth from your word, beginning with in the beginning that you created all things. And help us, give us wisdom for this time, I pray, for your honor and glory. And speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Well, I want to start off with...
Sure.
I do have a microphone, but I don't have this connected, so I'll just try to speak up. I'll try to have that. I've got two channel microphones, but anyway, I'll try to speak up. But I have started carrying with me this funeral. What do you call these? Folder? From this summer. I found out she was my fourth cousin. She took her own life with a gun to the mouth. And at the service, bullying was mentioned by the pastor of the church. Other than that, we have no idea of what was going on. What would cause a 12-year-old girl to take her own life? And I'm going to be taking this with me pretty much every presentation, because the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And if there's ever a time in our land, this is needed more and more. Not to back off. We need to go on the offense. The devil has been getting our kids for way too long. And what would cause a 12-year-old to think their life should be ended? I have no idea what was going on. But that is not the answer, to take one's life. We have different themes that we've been using since 2000. And Dynamite, Mountain Mysteries, Secrets of the Sea, Wilderness Wonders, and Jungle Tales. I forgot to put that one on there. Anyway, we've got things down front here that are samples from our VBS, but that's later, the presentation on that. But the last 7 or 8 years, an idea has been to form an organization that could be with other, like maybe an umbrella, mission agency to send forth other apologetics missionaries. So we're dubbing that SET Foundation Ministries, stands for Strengthening Believers, Engaging Unbelievers, Training Others. And so we ask for your prayers along those lines. Creation is how God rebuked Job. Any of us better than Job? None of us. The Bible says of Job, in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. With all that happened to him and his family and all that, I don't know what my reaction response would be. But God came on the scene in a whirlwind, speaking to Job and his friends. It's how he rebuilt the disciples' confidence. My favorite chapter, perhaps, of all is the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus coming along, they did not know, their eyes were holding. And he began, how? Moses. What's the first book of Moses? Genesis. So he began with the scriptures and the beginning of the scriptures. Anybody need confidence? Get down and out, you know, like those disciples? It's how he reveals himself. He used a star to lead the wise men. We know that account well, don't we? He rode a donkey into Jerusalem. He used a light, a bright light from heaven, to arrest Saul. Later, Paul. He used a lion and a leopard and a bear to illustrate, communicate graphically judgment on his people. Folks, it's just, these things aren't what I got in college, by the way. It's through reading of Scripture you see, oh, God used, he used a lion and a bear with David in preparation for Goliath, didn't he? David referenced that. So in a word, we're using his animals to bring him glory, to battle the devil with the evolutionary worldview. And in Job we read, but ask now the what? Beasts, the animals. And they do what? They teach us. But do you go to Sunday school and expect to hear about animals? No, we don't. We've avoided it for far too long in our churches. And we've tried to play catch up with the Christian school. I'm a product of Christian school. Praise the Lord. But so many times, what happens with Christian schools? They get off on sports. They get off on other things that take up the time, and they don't deal with the foundation. And I'm a product of that as well, because in my mind and heart, I can only remember using in our biology class in Christian school, 10th grade, used public school textbooks. And I'm sure it's because of the money, but dissecting and, you know, you do the artwork and things, but no apologetics. Anyway, earth, the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, what do they all declare? Who knoweth not? In the Hebrew, that's duh. Don't you know? There's a creator who made or wrought this. So is there not a cause? The cause of creation. There's a Goliath out there.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, that Goliath has infected many of our thinking individuals in churches. And so we've got to hit it head on. No pun intended with that, but yes, we've got to go toward Goliath. David ran toward Goliath.
Yeah.
We have shirked because we're afraid, I believe, of some atheistic, agnostic questions and such. So creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, consummation, these C words. I got those, of course, from Answers in Genesis, and very good ministry. Anybody been to the Creation Museum? We've been several times. How about the Ark Encounter? Okay. Y'all aren't as far from there as we are in North Carolina, but we've been to the Ark as well. We much prefer the Creation Museum with the different things. The Ark, anyway, I don't have time for that, but there was a lot of supposition in the Ark Encounter, and we like the Creation Museum a bit better. But here, by illustration, Jeffrey Dahmer and his dad shown here. In this video clip I'm going to share with you, it has been scrubbed from, you know, when you have a video that you download from the internet or get from someone else, there's a little smudgy place in it, and I was going online to find a better copy where that smudgy spot was not there. And just to give you an illustration of Satan's control, internet and all this, someone had taken the time to download and then re-upload and remove this segment from it.
I didn't feel accountable to anybody. I didn't feel that I had to face what I had done ever. And so there comes a point where a person has to be accountable for what he's done. Can't go around making excuses, blaming other people or other things. So I alone am the one who's responsible for what's happened. So
let me ask, when did you first feel that everyone is accountable for their actions?
Well, thanks to you for sending that creation science material. Because I always believe the lie that evolution is truth, the theory of evolution is truth, that we all just came from the slime, and when we died, you know, that was it. There was nothing. So the whole theory cheapens life, and started reading books about how evolution is just a complete lie. There's no basis in science to uphold it, and I've since come to believe that the Lord Jesus
There's
Christ
a smudgy spot.
Is the true creator of the heavens and the earth. It just didn't just happen. And I have accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that I, as well as everyone else, will be accountable to him.
Now, how many have never heard that Jeffrey Dahmer had trusted Christ as Savior? Anybody have never heard that? Because it's been scrubbed. Like from that interview by Stone Phillips. What year that was, I don't know. But that testimony of salvation, it boggles the mind. Every time I hear that, I've played this I don't know how many times in a presentation. The grace of God can forgive even a Tyler Robinson.
Amen. Yeah. Wow.
If he trusts Christ as Savior, right?
Yes. Yes.
And even more heinous, in our estimation, this. I could not even read a one-page website that went through the timeline, just factual website. The pit in your stomach, I couldn't finish reading it. It was so horrendous. My question is, what if someone had reached him with those materials beforehand, when he was a child, when he was a teenager? What could have been prevented? That's our perspective on this. There are special days in February, Valentine's, President's, Groundhog's Day. How about the 12th, Darwin Day? Anybody heard of Darwin Day before?
Yeah.
Get your pastor to celebrate it with a Creation Sunday. We're celebrating Darwin Day today, you know. Darwin did refer to a creator in his book. By the way, I don't have that out. I have a lot of illustration things. Maybe I'll get that out of that box in the van. But even a search engine some years ago, 2014, a little over 10 years ago, had this artwork, and I had to take a picture with my phone as I moved my mouse over it, and it had the celebration of Darwin Day. This world celebrates Darwin. Think of all the young people that Charlie Kirk would debate on campus.
Yes. Yes.
And my question is, what if they were reached before they got to college? We need to get on the bandwagon and look at our kids as we need to sow them seeds of apologetics truth on their level. You know, I'm not talking about up here. I'm talking about their shelf level, if you will. So Darwin Day, and this was the last time I did the presentation, so I'm sorry I don't have it. I usually go online. I was working more so on the VBS one, a new presentation. But you've got, I think, up to date. Is there a list of the state-by-state listing on the back? I have that down front, by the way. I guess I don't have that. Not in the syllabus. But anyway, if you want more up-to-date information from the other side, and we're to be knowledgeable of what's, you know, the men of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. We really know that. So understanding what's going on now in our nation, etc. So the clergy letter project sounds good, doesn't it? It's evil. It's pro-evolution, evolution. But you can go on there and see other things like the climate crisis letter. By the way, I saw this, I guess last year, what used to be called Evolution Weekend. Wasn't setting well. So now they call it Religion and Science Weekend. Changing their terminology. You know, keeping people guessing and such. But of course, California being the most popular state would have the most clergy. Our home state of North Carolina, and I failed to put Indiana and Illinois. They're up. Illinois is high up in this list. Dubious list, by the way. Of the number of clergy, so-called, that have signed on to evolution as a fact.
Is that real, though?
It is real. Yes, these numbers are real. And even they've added, several years ago, a humanist letter. Humanist letter. Humanist clergy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, part of this letter, I don't know if it has the quote from the... This sheet does down front. Has the entire letter that they sign on. The beloved stories. Anybody guilty of saying Bible stories?
Yeah.
I have my hand up. You know, we need to remove that.
Right.
Not that it's bad necessarily, but what does the word story communicate, generally speaking?
Fictional.
A fictional Red Riding Hood, you know, something like that. Or even in the context, you telling me a story. Well, what's that mean? A lie. Okay, so let's use terminology that gives depth, gives meaning, gives historical, you know, account, the biblical account. The Bible lesson even can be fine, you know, as far as that goes, teaching a lesson from the Bible. But here they use stories. And what's the verse one? Creation. It's a story. It's a made-up story to them. Adam and Eve, figments of the writer's imagination. Noah and the ark convey timeless truths about God. We believe the theory. Now, that's another word we need to know about. It's a scientific term, theory, that has teeth to it, if you will. So we shouldn't be saying evolution's just a theory, because that gives it teeth. That gives it a level of scientific foundation, if you will. Theory of evolution is, there I said foundation, foundational scientific truth. Words we would use about the Bible. That is foundational, that is scientific, that is truth. They're saying about evolution. To reject this, now it's truth. You see the progression in this letter that they're signing? Is to deliberately embrace scientific ignorance, gladly, and transmit such ignorance to our... So they're interested in children, and that interest makes me even more interested in reaching the children. Listen at Bill Nye.
Deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything you observe in the universe. That's fine. But don't make your kids do it.
Don't make your kids.
We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers.
Taxpayers!
We need people that can, we need engineers that can build stuff, solve problems.
I mean, you can't build stuff without believing in evolution? Oh, I'm going to for this, paying taxes. I'm a creationist. I'm exempt. He got his start doing stand-up comedy. He's still doing that. Yes, yes, exactly. This is sobering. These homosexuals chorus. And I cannot stand watching much of this, but...
You fight against our rights. You say we all need lies. You can't respect.
Part of this. I can't stand looking at that. Will convert your children. And they have been doing. Under our noses. People turning to homosexuality, young people that grew up in good churches. My question is, why? Why? Why are they turning to something so against the design of God?
Yeah.
Perhaps we've not been communicating effectively that design. And we need to. I'm going to skip some of these things, but I'll get back to them if we have time. What's our time frame? I'd forget. Till 11:50. Okay. Every February, and if you're on Facebook or something like that, please... check us out, especially during that time. I've been working the last several years to do brief video clips, taking materials from like our book table for the voiceover and putting together pictures and or video to make a brief creation teaching clip that can be easily shared on your page and others, you know, links and links and whatnot. So I call that effort 12 Days of Truth. Like Christmas time, we have 12 days, you know, leading up to Christmas, that song and all. So February 12th is Darwin's birthday. So we're calling it Doubt Darwin Day. And leading up to that with 12 Days of Truth with those video clips. And we have a conference and things during that time, but I encourage you to look up Doubt Darwin Day. Did you know that one of the main perpetrators of evolution in our nation was, according to Wikipedia here, Evangelical, I think, is used here. I thought it was. Anyway, he's referred to as an evangelical. Anybody heard of Asa Gray?
Yeah.
Responsible for getting Darwin's book published here in America. So with evangelicals, you know, Christian. I don't know if he was saved or not, but considered to be religious at least. Gray, let's see, his Darwiniana, whatever that is, was considered an important explanation of how religion and science were not necessarily mutually exclusive. So you can believe the Bible and evolution. Well, if believers, if he was a true believer, instrumental in getting Darwin's book published here, let's have believers get it kicked out. Anyway, the answers in Genesis artwork communicating the big problem where we have evolution and man's opinion and all these things arising from that false foundation, that bad foundational worldview, to creation and God's Word and what should be based upon that. We have lots of fighting, we have lots of sleeping, we have lots, even on our own side, taking aim at the foundation. And then some in La La Land. So we're not the only one, of course. We're just seeking mostly to reach young people, children, VBS, do what we've done from the start. But basically all these things that are aimed at the foundation of Genesis, we're seeking to warn people about the effects and everything, and head it off at the pass in some ways. So number one on your sheet there, what's it, page 53 if you're not already there. Remember now thy Creator when? The days of thy youth, particularly. And now is now. You know, when we were earlier in the session, you know, combined session in the auditorium, that was then. Now is now. You know, it's ever present. It's like the Creator. What did he tell Moses? I am the ever-present one. So remember now, do you think remembering our Creator at a given point in time when we're tempted, get angry at something, frustrated, might it keep us from going further and sinning because of the anger or what have you? Yes. Remember now thy Creator, particularly in the days of thy youth, the most impressionable time of life. Number two, we must be ready to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give an answer to everyone that asketh you of the hope that lies within. So more and more we're needing to communicate those answers to our kids in our churches. And that word translated answer is apologia. Have you heard of the two parts to it? Apologia. The word logic comes from that. Basically, the very bedrock foundational meaning of it is from logic. And it's a Greek word, apologia. Just think of the word apology that we have. What does that mean in our culture, in our language, to offer an apology?
I'm sorry.
Well, it's not just that. If that Tyler Robinson, you know, who shot and killed, murdered in public, if he said, I'm sorry. You know, people are going to be watching his expressions.
Right.
I watched a brief video. It was fascinating about his body language as the judge is announcing, telling him. Did anybody see that? You know, very little body language, but, you know, different nuances of expression and things. No remorse. No tear. Nothing. So if someone says, I'm sorry, but they're weeping, that communicates more depth of seriousness to that. So apologetics is more than the words, I'm sorry. Someone can say it very flippantly and not mean it. So an apology is more along the lines of when we have a court scenario and there's lawyers involved and they're asking all these questions, the whys and wherefores, and they're getting at the apology. They're getting at the why. They're getting at the reasons behind the actions. Paul began with creation when he spoke to pagans. How did he begin his message? Acts 17. God that is loving, holy, just, pure, cannot look on evil. No, he began with creation. God that made the world, and he's addressing these pagans. They didn't know. Here was this idol to the unknown God. And Paul takes that and says, let me tell you about him. He's the one who made you. And more in our culture today, whom Charlie was putting himself out there, and his life was ended because of it. We go to fairs, and I'm thinking, that could happen to me. Several years ago, I see about 4 years ago, was it? We were in a town we go to every year we've gone west except this past time at a fair in Payson, Utah, which is probably 30 minutes south of Orem. And I happened upon, we came back to our booth, and I may have gone to the restaurant, I don't remember what it was, but I'm coming back. As some young people were finishing up, Heather was talking with them about the dinosaur soft tissue. If you're not familiar with that, get one of those cards off of our table. And these young people could not answer the evidence about the dinosaur soft tissue found in a T-Rex thigh bone. I think 2014 is when it was made public. Mary Schweitzer and all. And so I'm happening upon the end of it, and they were leaving. And well-dressed, probably Mormon, you know, very clean-cut young people, about college age. And as I came up, the young man passed me, and I'm thinking he's saying, he's going to, hey, appreciate what you do, or something like that, because he's clean cut. You know, that's my first inclination. So he passed me going this way, and I'm going this way, and I looked. I don't know if I asked him a name or anything. I don't remember. It's been too long. And he turned back, and he said, I absolutely hate what you do. Now, he didn't quite say it that way, but those words, he said it very calmly. And I was just, whoa. You know, taken aback. And then I found out later what they had discussed. They were frustrated because they couldn't answer that. From an evolutionary perspective, how they had been indoctrinated in apparently university. They were college age. You remember what college do you... And she talked more to them.
Upper high school or maybe young college age. I'd say around 17, 18.
But they took a stack of our rainbow cards, not to hand out, obviously. And they even sent someone else back who didn't have a clue what she was there for. I needed to find, you know, and she was there sent by them, obvious, to get more materials to dispose of them. Anyway, he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The Mormons need to hear this.
Yep.
They think their God dwells in temples. Number four, Satan has used evolution to undermine the scientific accuracy of the Bible. Hence, the impact of the gospel is weakened. Now, pay attention, you know, to those words, the impact of the gospel. It's not that the gospel is not powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the what? It's powerful. But the impact in this culture, where we're at now with young people, having been taught, and in so many ways, from movies to college classes to just TV program, it's all over the place. And so it's even garnering, it's even gathering the thinking of people and young people in church, even ones who've been Christian school and et cetera. It's the greatest destroyer of faith in God's Word. Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. This is the Word of God. Amen. And yet, yours truly, we battle the basics, don't we? The devil gets us so busy. Of course, you can have a Bible app on your phone, but so many distractions from the basics. And I would say even the basic of the basic creation is how the Bible begins. This truck we saw in, we were in Indiana, weren't we?
Yeah, it was in Goshen.
Goshen. Anybody been to Goshen? Anybody seen this truck? Anybody? Have you seen it? Isn't it amazing? You've been to Goshen and seen it?
I used to live in Oklahoma.
What was it called? I forget. Oh, Yeah, that's how. Don't pay attention. Shockley shockwave trap. Now, an amazing display of man's power. It even, did you see it race an airplane? And the airplane swoops down and beats.
It almost blew up one time.
Oh, there was a guy that was killed. Yeah, that's right. I remember hearing about that. I'm thinking, I used to say, I'd love to be on there, but no, I don't think so. But think of the illustration with man's power on display in light of God's eternal power. The gospel, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The gospel that can save even a Jeffrey Dahmer or a Tyler Robinson. Amen?
Amen.
But the word preached, what's those next three words? Wait a minute. I thought all scripture is, wait, pastor's in here. Is that a contradiction?
No.
All scripture is given by, do you know the next words? And is?
Profitable.
But here it says the word preached didn't profit them. Now on the surface, somebody who's a skeptic may say, well, look there, there's a contradiction. Just read a few more words, not being mixed with faith.
Yeah.
It's not going to profit somebody if they don't mix, if they don't believe it. Now, going back to that truck, somebody can run alongside and try to race it. You're going to win that race? No. Let me liken that to humanistic worldview, trying to make it on your own, so to speak. Or somebody can get out, I'm going to push this down that airstrip. You're going to push that truck? That's works. No, just get in the truck. Get in the truck, i.e. the Lord Jesus, trusting Him, mixed with faith. Number five, like Paul, believers are to be set for the defense. Here's that word, apologia. And you can leave here and say, well, I learned a Greek word today. Now, apology, we talked about apology. You got it. Just add a. To the Greek word apology, apologia, and you got that Greek word, or the English word, and then add a on it, and that's it. So Paul in Acts 26, before King Agrippa, who said, almost thou, almost. You ever seen somebody who was almost? Well, I think the words were, I think myself happy to give an answer. I think Paul said that. I think myself happy. So that word answer is apologia. So Paul had opportunity before, shall we say, a politician to give apologetics. Number six, evolutionists know the foundational issues. I think you have the quotes there. Look at this one by G. Richard Bozarf in an article entitled The Meaning of Evolution, in a magazine called The American Atheist from February 1978. It's sad, but sometimes these quotes are showing that they understood more of the foundational nature of these things than many Bible-believing Christians do. Tragically, sadly. But he said this, evolution destroys the very reason Jesus' earthly life was supposedly made necessary. Now keep in mind, he's an atheist. Destroy Adam and Eve and the original sin, and in the rubble you will find the sorry remains of the small s, son of small g, God. Now his conclusion is wrong, that Jesus isn't the creator and capital G and all that. We could find lots of there. But his analysis is accurate because he's saying that it's foundational. And it is. Jesus is referred to in, what, 1 Corinthians 15 as the last Adam. Now think of how this biblical truth eradicates Calvinism. As in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We're all in Adam. So guess what? He died for all. And we're given a choice to accept it or not. G. Richard continued, if Jesus was not the Redeemer who died for our sins, and this is what evolution means. So our Christian kids leave church the next morning. They go to a humanistic, godless, evolution teaching public school. Guess what they're receiving? Antichrist message.
Yes, sir.
After we've preached them Christ. Now they're getting it 5 days a week. And we're trying to reach them if they come one Sunday morning a week. I wish we had known when I was a youth pastor, 3.5 years, trying to minister to some of these kids, teenagers and such. I wish I'd known then what I know now. But I didn't. I had no apologetics. We'll share that. Anybody in the church tomorrow? Anybody here at Emmanuel tomorrow? Okay, we plan to bring no relation to, I already had a presentation entitled Turning Points. But anyway, here's another one, Jeremy Rifkin. We no longer feel ourselves to be guests in someone else's home. It is our creation now. We make the rules. We establish parameters of reality. We create the world and no longer feel beholden to outside forces. I don't remember doing that. Creating the world. Any of y'all remember doing that? We no longer have to justify our behavior. I've emphasized with the humanistic wording here. For we are now the architects of the universe. And the rest of this quote I took out because I hated even showing it up here. But I'll give you the gist so you know. For we are the kingdom and the power. You know the rest. Lord's Prayer. Now, why would he be saying that? That tells me he had some biblical background.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to put the humanistic spin on it.
Yep.
Number 7, creation is the basis for the bad news. We got to believe the bad news first, that we've sinned. Now, let me offer this. Because of our language today, like the word story that we mentioned earlier, please follow me on this. The word sin, likewise, is used in many different contexts, such as, oh, that was sinfully delicious. You know, what might we do better in changing our terminology to communicate this is serious, not just something that's sinfully delicious, you know? Because of that word in our culture today, we might intersperse the term violation. I violated God's design. Not because the word sin is a bad word. I'm not saying that. Like the word story, like I said, the word sin doesn't communicate in people's minds sin against God as much in our culture as maybe in a day gone by. So violation might have, oh, that's a different word. That's a bigger word. What does he mean by that? You know, getting somebody's attention at the very least with a violation, a violation of God's design. If you violate it, there's a punishment for that violation. So creation the basis for the bad news that we've all violated, we've all sinned against God. As in Adam, all die, and that result is death. We're going to die. And in that sense, Charlie Kirk deserved to die, right? We all deserve to die, and we're all going to die someday, whether it's cancer, being shot by a gun somebody takes, and whatever, car wreck, whatever, we're going to die. This may be my last time talking. But death is a result of our violations against God. We all deserve it. But that's to be followed by good news. How many of you like good news? I like good news. Creation is the basis for the good news. Jesus, the Creator, took care of our sin problem. Our sin problem. Our violation problem by paying for my violation. I thought of this the other day. What if I will go step in front of or go to the chair in his place? That's what Jesus did for me. That's, I'm the murderer. I'm the violator. Jesus took my place. Hallelujah. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Are you alive today? Are you alive eternally? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
Just a matter of, what's that artwork that Charlie, AI, and he turns and sees a bright light, and Jesus coming, taking by the hand. It's just a matter of when that's going to happen. How, we don't know in each one of us. How did John begin his gospel? In the beginning. That kind of sounds like another book. Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. By the way, that's the word logos. We mentioned that earlier with the Greek apologetics. Logos is in that word. The Word was God. Creation is the basis for missions. You know, maybe a missions conference. How many of the pastors in you have a missions conference, mission emphasis? Every year your churches have a missions emphasis. Have you ever had one on creation? I've never heard of one. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Before that, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. What's he claiming? He's the creator. He has all power. And that's not the Greek word dunamis from which we get dynamite. Do you hear the similarity? Dunamis, dynamite. That's the word for authority power, like a king. And he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So all power is given to me in heaven and earth, and that's the basis for going. Go ye, what's the next word? Therefore, because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, having all authority. Hey, we've been authorized to go. We've been authorized to go by the Creator of all things. Wow. That should give you confidence in going. Oh. So what good news are we to share? Well, the good news that begins with the bad news that we violated, beginning with Adam, for as in Adam, all died. The good news beginning with the bad news, and then the good news that somebody's paid for your violation. Even in Christ shall all be made alive. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 8 years old in Vacation Bible School. So the Lord has us doing VBS now. Hallelujah. Did I plan that at 8 years old? No. Did I plan that in high school? No. The Lord showed me when I was in college something. But we say God loves you, has a wonderful plan or a wonderful design for your life. But what has happened in so many ways to stop people's ears and even young people? And we heard a quote, what was it, this week on one of the podcasts we like to follow, ICRs, I think. Carl Kirby said something, we're not losing our kids when they get, what, college age? Is that what he was saying? She heard it. We never had them. And that really hit us. We need to communicate that life is given to you by God. You don't have a right to take it. It's not yours to take. Just a couple minutes here. I would elaborate on our themes, but I got through that quicker than I thought. I thought I would run out of time. But does anybody? Yeah, I was going to ask if anybody had a question.
So other than saying theory of evolution, what should you say?
I like to say evolution, change the letter there. More so in the echo chamber, if you will, those who already believe, like this, evolution, or with kids and VBS, worldview, even hypothesis, someone hypothesizing something. And if I say the lie of evolution, that's going to be an affront to some, I understand. And I would follow it up with some evidence, you know, like soft tissue in a T-Rex thigh bone. How can that be millions of years old? What those kids couldn't answer and they got frustrated about. Anyway, so that's three options. Yes, sir?
How have you used the word hypothesis?
Hypothesis?
Gone to a theory. It's not a theory at all.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. So, not used.
That should be tossed.
Tossed, okay.
Yeah.
I wondered about that one.
Yeah.
But, so worldview, yeah, worldview, and it is a worldview that someone has that we're related to the animal kingdom, animal kind. Any other quick question?
I got another hypothesis. The earth is flat.
Oh, for answering that?
Yeah.
Well, scripture says circle of the earth, and the evidence has shown us all the other planets, just like as far as the circle we can see, fit in, earth fitting in with all that. So, and to go a little bit further with the Hebrew word from which we get the word hug. So that's around. But anyway, that our time is up. So thank you for joining us this time. Part two will be the importance of evidences that I've dubbed from the scripture. Come see, go tell.